On May 12th, George Fidel will take on our boy, Jimmy Mangos, in a race for pride and maybe more.
In this case, I do choose to run, and I will choose to win.
I don't think Jimmy thinks that he can actually win.
The thing is, you don't need to work out for a 10-second sprint. It's either you have it or you don't, which in this case, I have it. George doesn't have it.
I don't train just for the sake of training. That's become part of my lifestyle. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm in the gym minimum 4-5 days a week. To be honest, I'm 210 with a 32 waist.
I'm a 32 waist. How can he be a 32 waist?
I'll prove it to you.
Let me see your
anytime,
jeans.
Anytime.
Take off your pants. To win a race, you pretty have to be light like me.
The pressure is on me to actually win.
All it takes is heart and courage and determination. George can work out all he wants. I'm not going to move a muscle, and I'm still going to win the race. This is a slap in the face of George. He's going to see, I haven't done nothing, haven't done jack shit, but I'm still going to beat this guy.
I will defeat Jimmy Mangos.
We're prepared to go set, and they're off! Ladies and gentlemen, going down the field. George Fidel looks like he's out to an early lead. He's pulling hard. He's starting to spin. Look at this event! Look at this event! George is going! Jimmy Mangos hanging on with his last breath! They're moving! And it's a bullying bullet! And the official time is 14 seconds! Mr. George Fidel! We are here with the winner right now! Mr. George Fidel! George, tell me, how do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel like I'm the champion of the world!
Champion of the world, George! You clocked in an official 14 seconds! How does that feel? Moving on now! Moving on now to the defeated Mangos! Mr. Mangos, how do you feel today?
I can't run my own feet.
I didn't understand a word you just said, but we'll go back to the record for that. Apparently not pleased with the outcome. Mangos is feeling a little bit under the weather. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Alistair Bannister, signing off on what will certainly become a controversial event in track and field history.
The race is in the books, the results are in, and Jimmy Mangos is in a dress. Maybe we should also talk about the playoffs a little bit. Maybe. This is the new and improved Sports Radio Jax. Watch out, the retooled Radio Jax are back and better than ever. We're coming to you live from Studio One at Centennial College. As always, you can find us on centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio, or you can download the podcast by simply clicking on Centennial Internet Radio. You can also hit us up on Twitter at SportsJax. I'm still Josh Lewinberg. This is my good pal, Aaron Karolnik.
Hello.
And the man in the dress, Jimmy Mangos, is off today. This is a personal day for Jimmy. But we are joined by the big man himself of Full Court Press, Matty Hayes.
Thank you very much, boys, for having me.
Matt, welcome.
Oh, I'm a pleasure to be here.
Certainly a lot easier to look at than Jimmy Mangos.
I try my best.
The all-time Waterloo leader in block shots,
that's true.
I believe.
That's true. Wow. 136, I'm pretty sure.
We're joined by a celebrity here, folks.
It's very impressive.
And I'm not talking about Matt.
Oh, no?
But our new Sports Radio Jax producer. For the first time ever, we are joined by producer Greg Hood behind the glass. Give it up for Greg.
What's the radio equivalent? Oh, some Val Venus there?
Hello, ladies.
What's the radio equivalent of a standing ovation, would you say?
Probably maybe a clap in the mic. Like
maybe a collar?
A little soft.
Collar, yeah.
I just had jerk chicken. I'm not standing for anybody.
No rice or lentils, though.
No, certainly not for Greg Hood.
I don't think I have enough cord on these headphones to stand.
Producer Greg, guys, this is going to be a fixture for the show. From here on end, a new member of the Sports Radio Jax family. And welcome to that family, Greg.
Thank you very much. It is an honor. Are you going to tell everybody where they can follow me on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, of course. You got to do that.
Producer_Greg, is that right?
Very good. Yes,
at producer_Greg?
That's me, yes.
I have heard that producer Tim from TSN might be a little perturbed about this copying of the Twitter idea.
He's not trying to step on anyone's toes here. He's an individual. He's an original. Well, not an original.
He's the first producer, Greg, not the second producer, Tim.
That's true.
Tell him to call my lawyer, Johnny Cochran.
Jackie Chiles?
Or Jackie Chiles, either one.
You got multiple high-profile lawyers?
Very much so, yes.
Greg, Twitter is a buzz right now. Lots of questions coming in for new producer underscore Greg. They want to know boxers or briefs.
More often than not, boxer briefs, but I do go briefs sometimes. No boxers. I'm not in grade four anymore.
They bunch up under your jeans too. It's really annoying with this.
Thank you very much, Matt.
No problem. I feel for you, buddy.
Thank you.
We have a lot to do today.
That's it. That's the only question. You said Twitter was a buzz.
Yeah, I was lying.
There's only one tweet.
Only one. Okay.
Only one.
All right.
It's from Giannis. Boxers or briefs?
A buzz.
We have a lot to get to today, and most specifically the race, which we teased at the beginning of the show. But we've been off for a little while, so I want to see how you guys are doing. What's new, Aaron?
Not much.
How's life?
It's pretty good. Enjoying the new semester here at Centennial College. Some very interesting new teachers we've had that I'm really enjoying so far. No complaints on my end. So it's been a very fruitful few weeks so far.
Wonderful. And Maddie, we mentioned that you are a former Waterloo basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
What are you up to now?
I'm pretty busy right now. New semester, new roommates. The aforementioned Giannis Bunkus, one of them. So it's always keeping me very busy.
Yeah, full-time job.
Ears are full. But, new semester.
I heard he's having a rough go at it this morning after his appearance in net in ball hockey.
He had a quote-unquote appearance.
He had a rough showing in net for the ball hockey team and got rocked a little bit. Was relieved of his duties after the first half because of a medical situation, I was told.
He was, to borrow a term from Pierre Maguire, sucking dirty pond water.
Let's just say that even Niemi felt bad for Giannis Bunkus last night.
The goals against was not low.
No. Let's talk about the race, because that has consumed this program and ultimately the world, I want to say. That
might
part
be of a month, really.
Yeah. There was a lot of buzz going into it. George versus Jimmy. Good versus evil. Work ethic versus...
lazy slob.
Okay.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Why not? Dolt.
Dolt, as my aunt is so fondly described
Jimmy
as.
He's not here today. Listen, Jimmy, if Jimmy was here, maybe we'd allow him to defend himself. He declined the opportunity to defend himself, so we're just going to tell it as it is.
He was the average Joe out of the two of them.
It's not like Jimmy is away with anything serious. He was just too lazy to come down from Mississauga to join us today, so I think a few shots at him are warranted.
I was told it was a bus scheduling issue.
Yeah, come on.
I was told that a certain something was flaring up again, and what was that, Greg?
Oh, I was describing Jimmy.
The first soundbite by Greg Hood is coming up right now.
You guys talk a lot. It's hard to slip them in there. But
I'm sorry, Greg.
We should definitely leave a lot of dead air on the radio.
Do you want me to tell you what Jimmy is?
Yeah.
What a moron!
Very good.
Oh, Larry David. Yes, coming back in July.
There's going to be a lot of Jewish people on the soundbites here.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
CRTC.
You might have the Canadian Jewish News is going to write an article about this.
I thought that's a good thing. Don't they want to be exposed? Yeah.
Did you know, actually, an interesting point about the CRTC, my cousin's wife's father used to be the head of the CRTC.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
I might Google that.
Okay. Dolphin. D-A-L-F-E-N. I think he might be dead now, though. I'm not sure. Let's hold off on that.
So, as you heard, and as you expected, not surprisingly, Jimmy Mangos fell to George Fidel in the race.
Not surprising to who? I was in Camp Mangos.
There were many in Camp Mangos.
Not surprising to Vegas. Did you see the odds?
I did not. What were they at?
They were very, very one-sided towards Mr. George Fidel. I actually won some money off of the race.
Yeah, me too. Greg still owes me some money, though.
I actually owe you no money. I paid you back yesterday at McDonald's.
And in dresses, but that's another story.
Oh, yeah, that's
We'll talk
up,
about the
yes.
dresses as well. So the original stakes were actually... if Jimmy loses, when Jimmy loses, he's going to have his head shaved by George. Post-race, he declined to do so. Instead, he negotiated other terms, which turned out to be pretty hilarious themselves, and we've been enjoying said terms for the last week. Jimmy has agreed to wear a dress at school every day for a month.
Jimmy's not a strong negotiator, and it's pretty obvious.
No.
Yeah, not the most wise decision by Jimmy, but for the fellow classmates, we're having a great time watching Jimmy. Just the dress.
He looks just the most defeated man this week. Just so
nice legs, though.
I saw him cross his legs. It was a very nauseating moment, so let me tell you.
Yeah.
What was your favorite outfit thus far?
Definitely the pink dress.
Pink dress.
Yes. Yeah, that was nice. Lauren's was nice as well, the flowers.
Full disclosure here, because we just want to put you in our shoes. so you can feel what it's like to see Jimmy Mangos in the dress every day. The first few days he was a little bit hesitant. Maybe he wasn't embracing the dress as much as we had hoped. He was wearing jeans underneath the dress. He looked very, very unhappy, and we don't want that. We don't want to see our boy Jimmy Mangos unhappy.
That's exactly what you guys want.
Yeah, I know.
But, depressed.
He's listening to this probably, so we want to let's.
He doesn't know how to use a computer. Come on,
cushion his ego a little bit. But the last couple days, it looks like he's starting to embrace the dress. He is wearing it with pride. No more jeans. We're getting to see some Mangos leg, which again is not the.
I can't wait for the summer colors to come out.
Oh boy,
he's got nice calves.
We've offered. Oh. Moving on. You don't have a sound bite for
there
that.
Comes. Yeah, there we go. All right, attaboy, Greg.
There
good
we
job.
Are. We've offered him a buyout. Did we tell you about this buyout?
I think so, yes.
And again, George is going to have to agree to this. We haven't been able to talk to George. He's been on assignment, actually. He's doing a coaching
in the nation's
gig.
Capital.
Yeah, in Ottawa.
Shout out to George Fidel.
George Fidel, we love you, boy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's all right.
I think you love him. Like, you actually have a strange obsession with the guy. He's my friend, but
come
on.
He's got a great upper body, I'm told.
Great upper body.
That upper body.
George is going to have to agree to the buyout, but I offered to personally allow Jimmy to get out of the dress wearing for a month if he agrees to wear a diaper, and only a diaper, for one day.
Is that the... Now, again, these terms are somewhat sketchy. Is this the whole day, lunch, class?
Monday,
class?
Wednesday, or Friday. That's our longest
Monday,
day.
Wednesday, or Friday, the longest days, one of them, and from beginning to end.
I would think that Jimmy would embrace this. For one, he doesn't have to get up to go to the washroom. I think that should be enough for him to
man's
agree.
Dream.
We know how much he hates getting up and doing things.
Yeah, so he should be delighted.
It was obvious in
his training.
Yeah. We did specify that he would be allowed to wear socks, he would be allowed to wear shoes, and he could carry an umbrella if he likes. But only a diaper.
Fair enough. We'll
so
see
hopefully, assuming that Matt doesn't do such a good job that we're forced to fire Jimmy, which I think is pretty much
which
a certainty
is being contemplated at this point.
Assuming that that's not the case, Jimmy will be back next week. Hopefully, by that point, he'll be able to let us know whether or not he's agreed to this buyout. Maybe we can get George on here as well. But race went down. Jimmy lost. Actually, some controversy at the end of the race.
Tons of controversy.
George cheated, yeah.
It was the most illegitimate 100-meter sprint I've ever seen in my life.
And
Tell me why, producer Greg. Defend yourself.
Okay, I guess nobody's seen the video, but there were numerous, not just one, numerous lane violations, which is
three.
An automatic disqualification in the Olympics. And just because this isn't the Olympics doesn't excuse us from being illegitimate. I don't understand that. And then secondly, there was a lot of body contact at the end of the race. Of course, Jimmy ruined his whole case by grabbing George's shirt.
Yeah, that's a pretty
he's an absolute idiot.
Hey, he went down fighting.
It's a non-contact sport. You don't need to go down fighting. You need to go down running. That's what you need to go
down
to.
Again, full disclosure, there's a couple of very, very outspoken Mango supporters in this booth with us right now. Well, one behind the glass. Greg and...
I'm not a Mango supporter.
And Matt.
I'm an equality supporter.
No.
You're a Mangos investor.
You are a Mangos investor.
It has nothing to do with the bet that I made on this
That's
race.
Preposterous.
I made no bets. I just choose to cheer for honesty and justice.
Very
and
good. If the roles were reversed, I would still demand a rematch.
I wouldn't demand a rematch. I think Jimmy would get blown out of the water in a rematch.
That's a good question, though. Do we want to see a rematch of this race?
Sure.
I would love to see it.
Put it on the table right now. Should there be a rematch?
I think there should.
Higher stakes.
Certainly.
Higher stakes.
Amputation of limbs at stake. I think that'd be interesting.
Perhaps we'll give Jimmy Mangos a shot at redemption. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh had a chance at redemption yesterday. Run that, Greg.
Lupe.
It's a spy from behind my giant robot's eyes. I keep him happy because the mic fall out if he cries. Scared of heights, so a mic pass out.
The big three went for redemption. In Chicago on Wednesday night. And they came through with flying colors, as I expected.
You bet on Miami last night, didn't
you? I did. And it
what
hurt.
Was that line like?
I think it was like four.
I heard Chicago was a heavy favorite, weren't they?
It opened 5.5 today for game 3 in Miami.
Really?
Miami the favorite.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's a great game. LeBron.
I think Miami's going to win.
LeBron's pretty good. He was pretty dominant down the stretch.
We knew he would be. They both, LeBron and Wade, came out as just shadows of their games, their selves, what we're used to seeing from the big two in game one. So we knew they'd be angry, right?
Absolutely. But I found it really interesting towards the end of the game where LeBron was getting all the buckets down the stretch. They were running the pick and roll with Mike Bibby. And that's something you really haven't seen at all from the Heat this year. They've been usually just running ISOs for D-Wade or LeBron and then going from there. But running the pick and rolls with Bibby was really effective last night.
Well, it's because you can't really switch on to LeBron when Bibby's running that role with him, because then LeBron's matchup is completely unbalanced. So you can't really defend that nearly as easy as if you have another big man do it.
The second half was very telling, I think, in both games, because the first game, what was it? Chicago outscored them, I think it was 55-34 in the second half. And then in last night's game, Dwayne Wade was in foul trouble a little bit in the first quarter. Miami got off to a slow start a little bit, but they took control in the second half, I thought, anyways. Lebron and Wade were brilliant.
I thought Udonis Haslem came off the bench.
Yeah, big shout out to Udonis.
13-5 off the bench for Udonis Haslem. And with everything he's been through this year, big ups.
Yeah, it's just more important to keep Juwan Howard on the bench. I think just anyone playing instead of Juwan Howard is an upgrade.
I'm pretty sure I'm an upgrade over Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
More block shots.
More blocks.
Sure. More pump fakes.
Many more pump fakes.
Now, Chris Bosh, let's talk about this for a second, because CB4 held his own, more than held his own in game one, going for 30 points, 9 rebounds. Second game, 10-7, and they win. So what kind of performance from Chris Bosh does this team need to be successful? Does he need to go off for those big numbers, or does he need to understand that he's third option?
That's an interesting question. Well, we did mention Udonis Haslem. I think he was a big part of the decreased role for Bosh. But also, we saw that Carlos Boozer was benched for most of the fourth quarter last night. And with Taj Gibson on the floor, maybe Bosh might not get the same kind of looks as he was getting in game one.
I definitely think with Gibson playing the way he has, you don't need to force Bosh to take shots. And especially if you have those two guys, Wade and James, hitting their shots and playing the way they are, you don't need to look to Bosh to score as much. I think the one thing you need from Bosh is just consistency. You can't have those 1-for-14 shooting nights. You just, as long as he's shooting near 50%, gets, 8 or 9 rebounds, they should be fine, because I think James and Wade should carry the bulk, and if not, then they need to look to Bosh.
Going into the season, everyone was anticipating what seemed like the ultimate series in Boston versus Miami. But what we're seeing here is a series where Derrick Rose, the current MVP, who allegedly turned down the help or the potential help of LeBron James in the offseason when Chicago was pursuing him, saying, "This is my team, this is my show, I want to run it," going up against LeBron James, two-time MVP, Chicago native Dwayne Wade, obviously Chris Bosh, two great defensive teams. Does it get better than this? Is this the best possible series that we could hope for in the NBA playoffs?
The intensity in these games have just been off the charts. I mean, it's just been so intense, and the contact, the physical contact between these two teams has just been marvelous to watch. I couldn't be any more excited for Game 3, which is on Sunday. How do you have such a long layoff? You just kill all the momentum that's been building up so far in this series. And we have to wait till Sunday for Game 3. It's really sad for me.
The layoff's killing me, too.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of criticism of the playoff schedule, I think, from the beginning of the playoffs. And I defended it originally because what David Stern, what the NBA wants to do, is obviously not have multiple games on at one time.
Well, of course not.
Which was the situation in the first round when they wanted to spread out the games. But now, why do we have to wait 3 days for Game 3?
Boggles the mind.
I don't understand. I just want basketball.
Yeah, that series, I need to see more immediately.
Yeah.
But there was a second series.
True enough.
Thank God.
In the conference finals right now, and it's pretty damn good itself. Dirk Nowitzki is going out of his way to isolate himself as maybe the best player over the last month in the NBA playoffs. We've seen great things from Derrick Rose, from LeBron James, Kobe Bryant.
Pau Gasol.
Kevin Durant.
Dwight Howard, when he was in the playoffs, was amazing.
But has Dirk Nowitzki been the best player in these 2011 playoffs?
I don't know if he's the best player. I think he's played the best. I think he really, his game, with his age and his skill set and the age of that entire team, he has really played the best basketball I think I've ever seen Dirk Nowitzki play.
12-for-15 from the field, a perfect and a record 24-for-24 from the line.
48 points. How about four blocks from Dirk?
48 points on 15 field goal attempts. That's unprecedented.
3.2 points per shot attempt. And that's without taking a three.
That is utterly, utterly insane.
Did you see how Serge Ibaka was guarding him, too?
Oh, poor Serge. He had no chance.
I've guarded guys, big guys who can shoot before, and all you can do is put a hand up and play tight defense. And he had both hands up as active as you possibly can, and Dirk just said, I'm a seven-footer, and I can shoot higher than you can jump.
You can fault the Oklahoma defense as much as you want,
you
but realistically,
really.
Exactly. It was just Dirk was unconscionable that night. He could not miss.
If you can deny him the ball, that's the best defense you can play when he's that hot. Because he's going to shoot over you anyway, so I don't care who you are.
Let me remind you, this isn't LeBron James. This isn't Derrick Rose. This is a player who, his whole career, the knock on him has been, well, he's a perimeter big man. He doesn't get to the hoop. He can't draw fouls. How do you get to the line 24 times if that's the case?
They chose not to double Dirk Nowitzki, which is a lot like what we saw with Atlanta and Dwight Howard. They chose to just play with the post defense that they have, the depth. They tried to go one-on-one with him, and he scored on every single guy. And when he didn't score on them, they had to foul them.
Is there any question at this point that this is the deepest team in the NBA?
I don't think there is. None at all.
Well, speaking of depth, you got to talk about J.J. Barea here. Yep. I know, Josh, you could probably take J.J. Barea in a fight, but dude was still incredible.
It would be
in
close.
Game two.
I'd beat him in a race.
Oh, no, I don't think in a race. Maybe in a fight. So I don't want to sell your racing skills short, but Barea was unbelievable in that fourth quarter, and he was instrumental in putting
their
Oklahoma City
incredible.
Away.
I saw Sean Marion foul out, and I thought, oh, no, what are they going to do? Yep. And it's like, oh, well, you can put either Deshaun Stevenson or Corey Brewer in.
You can go defense with those two. You can go offense with Peja.
Yeah, you have any amount of options you could really want, and they all seem to be relatively healthy, especially given their age.
Dirk, Terry, and J.J. combined for 93 of the 121 points, and we're still sitting here and talking about how deep this team is. In addition to those three guys, you can go so many other ways, and now they're talking maybe a return eventually, especially if they get to the finals, for Caron Butler.
Yeah, Caron Butler used to be prior to his rash of injuries, but Caron Butler was an excellent player in the NBA. It would be a very valuable contributor.
Is he going to come back and play
20, 30 minutes?
Does it matter?
This is a team that's like, well, I don't know why you'd want to mess with the chemistry they got going now. They've been dominant. They swept the NBA champions, two-time NBA champions.
You just put him on the bench, and if he's effective when he's in, you keep playing him. If he's ineffective, you take him out. You don't have to put him in. Obviously, he'll help the team if he plays the way Caron Butler plays. He's a former All-Star, but On that note, former All-Star, Jason Kidd only had 3 points, but do you remember when those 3 points were? It was a key three down the stretch. So I think we're going to still see better from him, too.
Count on nothing else from Jason Kidd other than he's going to know his role.
Oh, very, very, very
what he does, how he plays, that's still the question. We've seen him go off for 20-plus points in the playoffs. We've seen him go off for, what did he have, three?
Three points.
But he's going to play within his role, and that's a question going forward with Russell Westbrook, because we saw him in Game 7 against the Grizzlies get that triple-double, look a little bit like Rajon Rondo. He was distributing. He was getting people involved. He was playing within the role that he needs to play for them to be successful. But in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, not as much. 3-for-15 from the field. The 20 points were nice, but I don't see this team being able to take Dallas to 7 games, being able to beat Dallas unless Russell Westbrook counters that role that Jason Kidd has perfected over the years.
If you look historically, Russell Westbrook's career against Dallas, he's only shooting 29%. So it's pretty clear that Rick Carlisle has devised a very effective strategy to contain Westbrook, and that's really playing a major factor in Dallas's domination so far.
Talk about point guards, and there's a pretty good point guard that may very well be the first pick in the upcoming NBA draft.
Kemba Walker.
Kids are ridiculous.
Well, that's the question. Like, Kyrie all of a sudden is this consensus number one pick. Over the last 7 days. It's been 7 days.
All of a sudden he's rocketed to the top.
All of a sudden, since the draft lottery.
It's been pretty commonly accepted for a while.
No. Within the basketball community, I think we all assume. But now it's gotten the general public that knows Kyrie Irving is number one pick.
Know who I blame for this? The media. There always has to be a story, right? There has to be that face that you advertise, that you pimp up as, oh, this is what you win. You won the draft lottery. This is the prize that you win.
Well, it's because there's a number one pick, and everybody wants to know who's number one.
Everyone wants to see that interview after the draft lottery with some guy who you can say, oh, hey, you're going to be going to this team now. What do you think about that? If there's no consensus number one pick, there's no story there, right? except for the
or the lack of a number one pick.
The 12 or 14-year-old son of.
Well, you look at the NHL draft recently. There was the Tyler versus Taylor saga that went on for a while, but I think it's pretty. I don't think Kyrie Irving's going to have the impact of, say, a John Wall or a Derrick Rose, point guard straight out of the college ranks, because Kyrie Irving only played a handful of games this year.
He might, though. With
he might, it's true.
There's definitely room
for him. Oh, he's
going to
be playing all the minutes he can handle. But also, you look at Cleveland, they have a guy, Ramon Sessions, who's a pretty good player. And like, is Kyrie Irving a huge upgrade on Ramon Sessions right now? I don't know.
What about Baron Davis?
Yeah, I was thinking about him, too. But
I saw a Baron Davis tweet after the draft lottery. It seemed like he was gloating. At the very least, he was showing a lot of
bravado.
He was happy, let's say, about the Cavs winning the draft lottery. And I'm wondering if he just doesn't realize that this cost him a job, or
Baron Davis is getting paid anyways. I don't think he really cares.
Yeah, I'm hoping he looks at it more as a mentor type role than as an actual competitive type role, because he'll just get rocked if he wants to do that.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving's situation is a lot like Ed Davis coming out of UNC. Ed Davis was injured early in the season and didn't. Well, I don't think UNC even got in the tournament that year that Ed Davis was drafted. So I guess that's a little different. But Kyrie only played two or three tournament games. So Kyrie's a very inexperienced professional basketball player and could have some growing pains early on, but I think he's the potential to be a very, very good point guard.
Matt, are you a conspiracy theorist?
I try not to be.
Did you hear what David Kahn had to say over the last couple days?
I did not. Enlighten me.
Kahn!
Oh, wait. No, I know where you're going with this. Go on.
This league is a habit, and I'm just going to say a habit of producing some pretty incredible storylines, Kahn had to say the other day. And then he went on to specify that he was kidding and explained, I don't believe in jinxes, curses, or hocus pocus, and I certainly don't think that we were wronged. But I do believe in the power of a story, and I joked last night that it's a heck of a story for a 14-year-old kid to beat out a couple of middle-aged executives standing together on a stage on national TV, and that our league seems to always have its own share of luck in being part of these stories. And
you're a stupid son of a bitch.
That's essentially what he had to say.
No, he's a stupid.
David Kahn is a stupid SOB.
Who was that guy that came out with the briefcase and the cards? And they're like, this guy.
Was that Russ Granick, the deputy commissioner,
accountant, or something like that? Like, it's not rigged. There's no conspiracy here.
Again, I look at it from the side of like the regular fan might, and just the way they presented that. I watched it from my home, and I don't believe there was a conspiracy, but the way they showed it on TV just looked really shady, where they had just some guy I didn't know in a suit come out with a bunch of envelopes. I turned on a thing that said NBA lottery. I never saw a ping pong ball. I just saw suits and envelopes and a 14-year-old kid. So the story wrote itself. And then what are the odds that the cards just came out the way that the story
the
wrote?
The 14-year-old kid with the illness
2.8%
birth.
Chance to win a lottery.
What did he have to say? He had some quote that they used in the
what's not to like about
what's
me.
Not to like, and they used
he's
that
a cutie, that kid.
They used that like 10 times. Then you have last year where the widow of the deceased old Wizards owner wins the draft lottery. So is it rigged?
I think it's not rigged.
I'm not going to
say
that
journalists
it's rigged.
In the room.
Journalists.
Doug Smith was in the room.
Again, I don't think it's rigged, but just the perception from a TV viewer, it looks just really poorly portrayed.
I agree. They should probably show the actual drawing of the ping pong ball.
It would probably take too long. It wouldn't be as TV friendly.
Well, I didn't think that was TV friendly at all.
Stick it on YouTube or something.
That's actually like an awful way to present
it. There was
that.
No entertainment aspect to that half hour show. None.
Except for seeing the main man, Dan Gilbert, just absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah.
It's not rigged,
Joshua,
by the way.
Joshua Cripps.
Dan Gilbert, the main man?
It's actually karma for him being such a tremendous owner and such a...
Oh, absolute. Some Cleveland bias right here. Do you have a bias soundbite over there?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you should probably get one for next week.
This is me. Well, he's just been such a loyal patron to his city. He's just getting rewarded for being such a good man.
He's just looking forward to, at this point, delivering David Stern the piece of paper that says Kyrie Irving's name on it in Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Oh, Comic Sans, yes.
Hey, nice reference. Comic Sans.
Or maybe in 4 years from now when Kyrie Irving leaves Cleveland and then he writes an angry letter about Kyrie Irving in Comic Sans. Yeah.
Kyrie Irving isn't from Akron, Ohio.
You guys don't think that they could take Derek Williams? Why? I've heard on
he
many
likes
occasions.
Derek Williams.
Of course you like Derek Williams.
I don't
and
think he'll
And they're pretty set at the one Cleveland. Like they're not in a bad state at the point guard position in Cleveland.
Well, they have super baller JJ Hickson up front. So,
what a stud.
I think that's the only player on that team I would take on if I was starting a team right now, would be JJ Hickson.
Yeah, absolutely. Alonzo G, perhaps?
Ayanga?
Again, but you can take Kyrie Irving, and they still have the fourth pick. So
it's true. They could take.
That is amazing.
They might end up with.
Get your boy.
They wouldn't take 2 point guards.
Kemba point guard.
Maybe that's why you do go Derek Williams one then, so you can
only David Kahn would take both point guards.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving won't last until four.
It's not what I said. I said you take Derek Williams first, and then Kemba Walker's.
You can
there
take a Kemba or Brandon Knight four. Yes, if either is still there.
Let's talk about the fifth overall pick.
Yeah, who would that go to
again?
Oh
my gosh.
I think
Vancouver
it was the newly extended contract of Brian Colangelo.
The number five pick is
and that earned
the
number five
the
pick. So let's talk first about. The pick, then about Colangelo. Are the Raptors screwed here? Did they get the short end of the stick for the draft lottery?
No, I don't think they're screwed. I think the draft is deep enough and not necessarily so top-heavy that I think the fifth pick will still help them. Obviously, the Kyrie Irving would be nice, so they got screwed there. But I don't know. I think they'll still improve their team. They're not going to be a great team next year anyway. So
they're going to be right back in the top five next year.
Absolutely.
No question.
And I think next year's draft can be way better.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Kyrie Irving, as you said, would have been nice. But would the number two overall pick have been so much better than what we have or what they have now? Derek Williams,
nice
player.
Piece.
But does he fit into what the Raptors are doing right now?
It just gives them more options if they want to trade out
more
of the
options.
Pick. I'm sure some teams would love to trade up and get Derek Williams, which might actually happen with Minnesota. But I don't know. If Minnesota was in the number one spot, I'm not so sure they would take Kyrie Irving. There's there's an individual coming over from overseas, Ricky Rubio, who really knows with Ricky Rubio. He hasn't been playing well in Europe anyways, but this is a guy who's been touted as a future star for many years. So, of course, who really knows what's going on in Minnesota? They have an affinity for point guards there. But for the Raptors' sake, it all depends who Brian Colangelo likes, and he has a pretty good track record in the past few years with DeRozan and Ed Davis. So if he likes Kemba Walker and Kemba Walker's there, he'll take Kemba Walker. If he likes Brandon Knight, which I'm not so sure Brandon Knight will be there at five, he could certainly go three.
I think whichever one of them is still there at five, you take him.
See, like,
I agree.
Is the upside there for Kemba Walker? What's Kemba Walker's best case, would you say? Like a Jamal Crawford? Best case?
Yeah, probably about a Jamal Crawford. But unless he finds himself in the starting point guard role, I don't know how much Calderon we can handle in Toronto anymore.
It's so tough to say with these combo guards because there's so many. Would you have thought Stephen Curry would have developed the way that he has into what's looking
tournament that year? Not as quickly. I thought it would have taken him longer.
Is Monte Ellis a possibility for a guy like Kemba Walker?
Maybe.
That type of thing?
Yeah.
That's pretty lofty, but we don't know what a guy like Enes Kanter can do. Like only Brian Colangelo is going to see him work out. And based on what he sees there, he's going to derive an opinion. And if that's what he feels, the upside on Enes Kanter could be a lot higher than Kemba Walker's best-case scenario.
Okay, I'm going to say this. If Colangelo opts for one of these big European dudes, which may be the right call.
Maybe.
And it doesn't work out.
He will be fired.
There will be pitchforks.
He's probably going to be fired anyways.
There will be
pitchforks. Got 2 years extension.
If he takes Kemba Walker and it doesn't work out, probably the downside will be a lot. It'll be a lot gentler as far as the Colangelo criticism goes. So if you're Colangelo, do you consider that? Do you consider, okay, well, I can't bust on another 7-foot European dude again?
Yeah, you don't want to bust on 7-foot European dudes.
No, you don't. Right, Greg? Producer Greg?
Wait a minute.
I'm not so sure about that one.
Oh, sorry.
Disapproval.
Wait a minute.
That works.
Okay, okay. That'll suffice.
Paralyzed.
I'm so fed up with it. I looked on NBA draft.net and I was looking at all those European players.
There's a lot of them
that they compare to Nadar Kristic.
4 to 6, 4 to 7, or something like that. And I'm just all their comparisons just absolutely make me livid. And I brought this up on my Facebook. I said if they take another one of these guys, I'll be really upset. And someone said, yeah, Dirk is really good. But I believe him to be the exception to this rule. Their comparisons up there, like Linus Kaleza. Who's that? Primoz Brezic.
Oh,
like,
Primoz. Stud. Back in the day.
That's the guy who played for the Raptors for a season, right? Like, are you kidding me? You're talking about a top five pick, and you're going to pick someone that's going to amount
to
be a
pick
Primoz,
in one of the weakest drafts in memory.
I just don't care. I'd rather take an athletic guy
I'll
like
have
Kemba
you
Walker
know.
and take
Brezich
that chance.
Brezich is in the Charlotte Bobcats Hall of Fame, okay?
He's true, he is.
One of the greatest Charlotte Bobcats of all time. I will not sit here and listen to you talk
again,
smack.
Again, the problem
about
I have
Brezich.
With these big Europeans is the problem. I'm going to sound like a broken record as everybody else is. They don't play against the enough competition. And it's not that they don't play against skilled players. Europe is full of skilled guys, but they don't have the athletes that they have over here. From a guy who's played CIS basketball against skilled players, you go down south and you play, and the guys aren't necessarily better, but they're way faster, and they're way stronger, and they're way bigger. You take a CFL team and you play against the NFL, you run in the same thing. They're not necessarily that much bigger and stronger, but they're way better athletes. And Europe just doesn't have the athletes that they have here. So when a guy like Kanter comes over, how is he going to deal with someone like Dwight Howard?
That's a great point.
Or somebody like an Emeka Okafor or some just big athletic guys who just are not, they're not in Europe for a reason.
Yeah, Kanter was ruled ineligible this year at Kentucky. Didn't play a second of college ball.
And I'm sure the team he played against over in four was a very good team in Europe. They just don't, there's a different style of play and they don't have the athletes.
Coming up, we will go to Boston and talk about the NHL playoffs. We'll also touch on a little Blue Jays baseball and the competition that's currently going on in the AL East. But first, I give you the Mangos Minute featuring producer Greg Hood. Mango, 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 mango. Mango, mango, mango. Welcome back, producer Greg.
Thank you. Whoa. Let me fix that before I start.
Hello,
this.
Greg.
Yes. Thank you. I'm back. Let's go.
Lots of pressure.
What's
the
question?
Greg's nervous.
This is his second mango spin. His egging story didn't go over so well last time.
Well, I had a couple people that egged with me say, wow, great story.
Yeah.
But that's pretty.
Was that a large target audience?
The target audience was two people.
There were 11 of us, exactly. We had our own stable, our own faction.
Your egging stable?
All of Greg's friends on Facebook have changed their last names. It's not their actual last names. Like change like athletes and stuff.
I don't blame them.
Do you want me to go through?
No, don't.
They're pretty good though.
Aaron Sebia, like Viking something.
Viking stud. McCluster. There's a McCluster in there too. Yeah.
They have all the feds looking for them because of the egging incidences. So they all have to change their names on Facebook.
Precisely.
Get aliases.
America's Most Wanted or Cambridge Most Wanted.
Gregory, the Cleveland Cavaliers will most likely select Kyrie Irving first overall, as we've discussed. And even though he's going to have to deal with living in Cleveland for at least 4 years, he's going to have a fat rookie contract to buy all sorts of crazy things. My question to you, well, my question to Jimmy Mangos, who, as we know, is at home in his dress. My question to you, Greg, what would you do with a rookie NBA salary?
Well, first off, because I resent the fact that you called Cleveland a wasteland, I will go buy a absolutely gargantuan house right in Cleveland, right in the downtown core. I'll buy a huge house, and then I would have a custom closet installed for all my oodles of clothes, sockets, all my jackets, you know, whatnot. I'll probably buy a lot of new clothes.
Satchels.
I was gonna get to that. Sorry. New suits. I'll probably buy a bunch of expensive suits. You know, yes, probably a few more satchels and messenger bags. I'd probably go on a shopping spree at the liquor store and
makeup.
Speaking of which, someone told me they wear makeup in this class. I can't remember who it is.
What do you mean you can't remember who it is?
Was it Lauren?
No, it was a man. And I won't actually. You know what? I won't say his name. I'll let him come out to you. But
he might have to come out to us.
I will definitely. I would say the thing I would get the most of is clothes and jewelries and accessories, and. Don't even try to call me a metrosexual, because if you do...
Hey, if I saw myself in clothes like those, I'd have to kick my own ass.
That's what I have to say to you guys, all right? So don't chirp my fashion sense. Thank you very much for this Mango Minute. That's Ride the Lightning, by the way. That's the segue here, because we're going to be talking about the NHL.
Wow.
Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Metallica.
Who sings Ride the
Lightning? Metallica. Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, that's
second
definitely
album,
Metallica.
1984.
Very creative, Greg.
Very good. Thank you.
It's a great job so far, Greg.
Thank you very much.
I'm very impressed.
6,000 songs. I have a lot of music to choose from, so.
I once heard about the music that Greg has on his iPod. He once told us all about it, and it sounded like there were some pretty good artists. Remember, there's some.
He's a very diverse. What do you have?
You had some 50 Cent. You had some Mariah Carey.
I only have about 3 50 Cent songs. Okay. I actually lied about the Mariah Carey. She just came to my mind when I was thinking about artists. I'm not sure why. Maybe I was just thinking of
Nick Cannon.
No, I do not have any Nick Cannon either. Not a whole lot of. In terms of R&B, it's all classic stuff. You know, Motown kind of things. Marvin Gaye.
Brandy.
No Brandy. That's a classic. That's not, what are you talking about? You're crazy, man.
Crazy. Who was it? Isn't Brandy married to somebody? Who's she sleeping with?
Ooh, Brandy.
We broke up like 6 months ago.
I feel it's...
I have no idea.
Quentin Richardson?
That's it. Nice
Hugh
one.
Quentin Richardson.
Hugh Rich. Nice one.
That was a remarkable...
Sandbagging son of a bitch.
Was that for Brandy or Q Rich?
That was for Q Rich. He bagged... What a wicked woman.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Oh, man. NHL postseason. Tyler Seguin. Toronto Maple Leafs.
Seguin? He's not bad.
Now.
That's what you say. Now, where did this guy come from? 6 points in the first 2 games.
The press box.
Of the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, he didn't play the rest of the playoffs. He went pointless for the last 11 games that he played in the regular season. And all of a sudden, Tyler Seguin.
It's not like Tyler Seguin's playing 20 minutes a night. He's doing it in limited action, getting second power play time, playing about 10, 11 minutes a game in the 2 games. Still, the guy's just lighting it up. And I think it may be a matter of just some crazy adrenaline rushes when he's out there. He's well-rested, having not played for a while, but... This guy's showing some serious skills so far, and he's carrying Boston right now.
As a Boston Bruins supporter, I gotta say, I like this move, unleashing the young Tyler Seguin on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay's a young team. They have a lot of scoring, mainly with guys like Stamkos and LeCavalier. St. Louis, but who's the Sean Bergenheim?
Yeah,
Sean Bergenheim.
Dominic Moore.
So
Teddy Purcell.
We know that they have some aces in the hole in Tampa. So why not throw a wild card out there? Why not try and mix things up a little bit? And it's worked for them.
Yeah, I think if Patrice Bergeron hadn't gone down with that concussion, he's actually supposed to return for game 3, you might not have seen Tyler Seguin in game 1 or 2.
That's a very good question. So what happens if he doesn't get injured?
Oh, I still think Seguin's on the
bench.
But if you're Boston, you're adding Patrice Bergeron, probably the best faceoff man left in the playoffs when you're top 2 centermen.
So who exits the lineup
now? I think it's already been said it's Sean Thornton. Seguin will either play the wing or they'll move Peverly down to the fourth line.
And let me ask you this. Do you see continued production from Seguin?
No, I don't. I'm not going to say an anomaly because he's obviously an extremely talented player, but he's just not going to receive the ice time necessary to continue this crazy pace. It wouldn't surprise me if he went pointless for the rest of the series.
Me either.
I hope that's the case.
Maybe
I'm playing against him.
Maybe
fantasy league.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Maybe there's a chip on his shoulder after he's been sat for 2 rounds of the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sure there is a chip on his shoulder.
For a guy with a huge amount of passion for the sport of hockey.
Yep.
He gets put back in the lineup. It's kind of like he has something to prove to not only himself, not just his team, right? To a lot of people.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's a curveball. Whether or not they stick with it, who knows? I would wager to say that they won't as well. But in a series like this that looks like it has a very good chance of going the distance, why not throw a 19-year-old rookie who has one hell of a lot of talent at Tampa Bay and see what they have? I mean, Tampa's been great. Dwayne Rolison maybe has been the best, if not certainly one of the best, goalies in the postseason so far.
Yeah, you go from a 19-year-old in Tyler Seguin to a 41-year-old in Dwayne Rolison, and Rolison has not looked... at least in game 2, looked very, very shaky. He let up a few bad goals, a lot of big rebounds, and Boston certainly capitalized on that. And you better hope this isn't Dwayne Rolison tiring. I don't think that's the case. Could have just been a one-off. But
I think he's just the streakiest goaltender the world has ever seen.
He always has been.
Yeah, I mean, like, the world has never seen a streakier goaltender than Dwayne Rolison.
If I recall correctly in that run that he had with Edmonton, he had maybe 2 or 3 bad games, maybe won a series, let's say. And he would always respond with his very best game of the series the next game out. So I would look for a very big game from Dwayne Rolison. And if it's not, then maybe, that's it. He's tiring.
You look at the game when it went to 6-3 after, I believe it was Michael Ryder scored the 6th goal for Boston. Tampa Bay made a pretty concerted effort to come back in that game. They got to 6-5, and they were pressing in the last 5 minutes of the game. So I certainly wouldn't be writing Tampa Bay off at all. Even with Bergeron coming back, I still think Tampa Bay... takes the series begrudgingly because I hope Boston does.
Rowley's been a busy dude. He's faced the second most shots in the postseason so far, second most amount of saves behind his counterpart, Tim Thomas, who has one more save.
Wow, that's some great research there. Was that Greg who dug that up?
No, that's the only thing it seems that Greg hasn't done this episode, because he's been a busy guy himself.
I've been impressed with Greg's performance.
Yeah.
Producer Greg.
He's the man. He's a great individual.
So while we're talking about goaltending, let's segue over to Giannis Bunkus. Antti Niemi.
Low blow.
Yeah.
He, you know what? He may be expecting this, because I believe the last thing I heard him say as we left the gymnasium last night, he said, "Well, I expect to be the brunt of the jokes for the next week." Seriously, dude.
You don't think he's sitting at home right now planning his entire line of defense against all of these comments coming in?
We're going to get some hate mail from Whitehorse. I'm not looking forward to that.
I wasn't going to say anything. I understand that people are going to have bad games. Maybe it's an anomaly.
21 goals.
But
you know what? I like where Greg's going with this. So let's apply said question onto Antti Niemi. Is this an isolated case? Did he have a bad game? Or is San Jose, how we say, screwed?
Both.
You think San Jose's finished?
I don't. I think they're going to lose. I do. And
we know Vancouver doesn't react well to having a cushy lead to deal with.
No,
it's
true.
They definitely like to coast. But I watched that entire game last night. Niemi, oh, man. He looked rattled, to say the least. And it wasn't all his fault, but there were so many goals that were just like, come on, buddy.
Right. It was a great game, though. How about Patrick Marleau dropping the gloves with Kevin Bieksa? Sure, he got pounded pretty hard, but that's pretty admirable for a guy like Marleau, who's, I mean, admirable or stupid, I don't know what's the better word. If Patrick Marleau gets hurt, San Jose is in a huge, huge hole in their scoring. But it was a statement for Marleau, and I think—
Did JR have anything to say about
that?
Yeah,
exactly. Calling Patrick Marleau gutless. Kevin Bieksa is a guy who's been in his fair share of fights through his NHL career, and he pounded Marleau. But you know, even watching a guy like Ben Eager last night, who crushed Daniel Sedin from behind, it was clearly a dirty hit, maybe even a suspendable play. You only got 2 minutes on the play, and then you saw later in the game when Ben Eager scored that meaningless goal and was taunting Roberto Luongo. I don't know if that sets the tone for Game 3 or just riles up Vancouver even more.
Did you notice Ben Eager get rewarded for his last penalty? In the box?
Yeah, to make it 4-2, and that seemed to be the end of the game there.
See, I'm going to disagree with Matt. I don't think we've seen the last of the Sharks in this series. I don't think the final score is indicative of the way the Sharks played for most of the game. It was a close game up until Vancouver finally broke through and then the floodgates opened. Niemi, something about Niemi, and maybe it's that he's just not as good as I think he is, but I do believe that he gets disrespected more than not. I do believe that this is a guy that is coming from a Stanley Cup victory. Was that his doing? Was he the ultimate difference maker last year? No. But he's been there. He's done that. And then all of a sudden, here you are again. Both the Blackhawks last year, the Sharks this year, there's a lot of talent on that team. And do I think he's a Vezina-caliber goaltender? Absolutely not. But is this a guy who's solid enough and who has proved that he is a winner? Absolutely, and I do think that Vancouver is going to have some trouble once again clinging on to their lead.
Let's hope so. I think we both predicted San Jose-Boston. We both called that final?
No, I said Boston-Vancouver.
Oh, I think I called Boston.
I have Boston over Vancouver.
Oh, I have San Jose beating Boston in the finals.
Are you guys experts or something?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But Jimmy Mangos has Tampa Bay.
He does.
But
Jimmy Mangos.
He has them going to the Stanley Cup and beating Phoenix, which probably
how's that going? How's that going for you, Jimmy? Whatever, he could be the ultimate victor here if Tampa Bay comes away with it somehow.
So, from Vancouver possibly going to the Stanley Cup Finals, we have a bundled up AL East in which we're just looking for anyone to step up at this point and differentiate themselves. Right now, it's looking like the team that everyone counted out, the same way that everyone continues to count out Antti Niemi. You have the Tampa Bay Rays constantly being underestimated, constantly being reminded of all the players that they lost in the offseason. And here they are, what is it now, 2.5 games, 3.5 games? They're 2 games ahead of the Yankees in the AL East.
It's been amazing. I think a part about us being lost in the shuffle with Tampa Bay is, remember the beginning of the season when we were doing our AL preview, we talked about how Tampa Bay lost 7 members of their bullpen from last year. You know what's incredible right now is that Tampa Bay has the second best bullpen ERA in the American League.
Oh, yeah, they threw together some randoms.
Yeah, it's incredible. Who
was pitched last night? Juan Cruz?
Yeah, Juan Cruz, former Royals prospect. But Greg Hood has a particular affinity for Kyle Farnsworth.
Oh, and he has been a career whipping boy.
Like, you look at Joel Peralta, a guy who many thought was going to be the closer. Jake McGee is not even on the roster anymore. So it's been pretty incredible, the patchwork job that Joe Maddon's done here.
I'm very impressed because even last year with the bullpen that, as we've talked about, was very successful, these were guys that, once again, came out of nowhere. These are guys that were having subpar careers, came to Tampa Bay, and they raised their stocks last year. And you look at guys like Benoit who go to Detroit with big contracts and then have been underwhelming so far this year. And Tampa
Rafael
Bay,
Soriano.
Exactly. And Tampa Bay is very far from a pitcher's park.
It's very true.
So there's something about this team. And we talked about losing guys like Crawford, Carlos Pena, who's not really lighting it up in Chicago.
Recently, he's been pretty heating up.
Might have to pick him up in the fantasy league.
I was
thinking
about it, actually. Oh, let's run to our computers now.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I think you got to give a lot of credit to Joe Maddon, though. He's done
absolutely.
There's an aura of winning about the Devil Rays now. They're 14-5 on the road.
That is messed
up. The Tampa Bay Rays are 14-5 on the road, and they were, 1-8 to start the season?
Yeah.
That was a record?
Yep.
Joe Maddon's got them thinking that they're winners. You look at the roster, there's not a lot of star power outside. Don't tell me B.J. Upton and Ben Zobrist is really star power.
Evan Longoria
power.
Is still
Evan
not 100%
Longoria's
healthy.
Not back to 100.
Yep.
Whoa,
their rotation has been as good as anyone.
You're forgetting about first off, let me tell you, Kyle Farnsworth is still shit. He always will be. He will never amount to anything in this league. He's going to lose his job later this season. I guarantee
you. You're probably right. I agree.
I'll bet you any money. And then you're also forgetting about the legend of Sam Fold.
Isn't he like 250?
Yeah, he's got it back up to 250. He's a very good player.
The seat warm for Desmond Jennings.
And now they have
Let's
Matt
make no
Joyce.
Mistake about that.
Matt Joyce, yeah. Is he gonna win the AL batting crown? And that's the question.
One thing we haven't mentioned is their starting pitching is pretty good. David Price is a machine.
Yeah, he is an absolute beast. And they got some other good
James
guys.
James Shields
has been great.
Wade Davis has been good.
Yep. Jeff Niemann.
Hellickson is okay.
Jeff Niemann. I picked him up for a week and lost him.
Let's talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox, group them together before we go on to the Blue Jays for a little bit. Are these two teams in trouble?
Yes and no. Their pitching is a big issue for both of them. They're starting pitching. I don't know what John Lackey is doing. I don't know if he's even a pitcher anymore, but a 7 ERA.
And
is,
then you have Dice K.
Dice K's going off the DL.
He's injured.
Buckholz has been underwhelming.
John Lester can't pitch every day.
Josh Beckett has been their best starter this year. He's been incredible. Actually, if you recall back to our AL preview, I called resurgence seasons for two pitchers, Josh Beckett and James Shields. How are those guys doing so far?
Oh, look at you.
We got to get those sound bites for next week, Greg.
I call Tampa Bay not falling
to
the
bottom
happening. Of the division.
Oh,
so.
There's still much time.
And you look at the Yankees rotation, it's the same worst problems outside CC Sabathia. But what, Bartolo Colon's your starter?
He's been great.
Number two? He's been great, but what do you do once Bartolo Colon goes down? Ivan Nova has been very inconsistent.
You're relying on Freddy Garcia. We've seen them sign other Grizzly veterans to some minor league contracts. So they do have to make some moves. They're in a lot of trouble. Tampa Bay is not a great team at this point. They're certainly not looking as good as they were last year. Obviously, the Jays are not there yet. Baltimore has looked good at points this season.
Yeah, they'll
fight. But Joe Maddon said it best the other day. Everybody's got their zits. Nobody's got a real clear complexion right now in the AL East. I love Joe Maddon.
That was a good quote. Yes.
Yeah, Joe Madden's the man.
I'm impressed.
Well, let's go back to the Yankees for 1 second. And the Yankees are 2 games out of the AL East lead right now. This is a team that's dealt with Jorge Posada hitting 150. Derek Jeter is basically a useless baseball player at this point. Alex Rodriguez is looking like he's 50 years old. Brett Gardner's hitting. He had 2 home runs the other day, but for the most part, he's been underwhelming.
Yeah.
Brett Gardner has done absolutely nothing.
And Jorge Posada is in the dugout crying.
Yeah. Rafael Soriano, they signed for $10 million this offseason on a DL. And they're only 2 games out of the AL East lead. That's something to be pretty proud of right now if you're a Yankees fan.
Who do you credit that to?
It's obvious who you credit that to.
Oh, here it comes, Greg's man crush.
Is it the two-bagger?
It's Robbie Cano, man. Yeah. That guy is stellar. Absolutely stellar.
I think everyone knows the Yankees will make some kind of move in the midseason, whether it's a guy like Carlos Beltran, who probably won't make that big of a difference. There's some pitchers out there maybe they can go out and get, but I still think the Yankees are a very, very dangerous team with the heart of that lineup.
This is the third time on this show that we'll be talking about Jose Bautista. The first time we asked the question, can Jose Bautista come close to repeating last year's statistics? The second time we asked, can Jose Bautista match last year's statistics? This time we ask, is Jose Bautista the best player in baseball?
Well, I think there's certainly an argument to be made for Bautista being the best player in baseball right now. Actually, if you look back to September 9th of 2009, Jose Bautista has 70 home runs. You know who's second place since that time?
Ryan Howard.
It's actually Albert Pujols with 55 home runs. So Jose Bautista has 15 more home runs than any other Major League Baseball player since September 9th, 2009. So that speaks to just how incredible Jose Bautista has been hitting the ball. But this year, I don't think there's any question Jose Bautista has been the best player in baseball, but Albert Pujols, I know he's been struggling so far, but this is a guy who has 10 years in a row of hitting over 310 and a career average of 38 and 120. So Albert Pujols, still the best player in baseball for my money.
Let's be clear with our words here, because a lot of people are getting out of hand, getting carried away. Well, if I'm starting a team, I'm not taking Jose Bautista first. That's not what we're saying. Is he the most talented player in baseball? No.
No.
No. Is he the player that you're going to start a team with? No. But is he currently playing as the best player in baseball?
100%.
Statistics would show that he is, and his performance when he's in the field would show that he is. So, yeah, absolutely.
The only thing you can knock on him is a lack of RBIs, and that's not his fault.
Nope,
he's hit 16 home runs. How many of those were solo shots? Like half of them?
If you have one guy coming up in the bottom ninth inning in Game 7 of the World Series, who do you want to play right now?
Jose Bautista.
I think it's pretty clear that the answer is Jose Bautista.
We have 4 minutes left, and producer Greg wants to play a little Achia Nish Nish. It's his first day on the job. We've obviously had success with this game in the past. Just in case you forget what this game's all about, Greg, run the rules.
So let's go through some things that will be okay and not okay. If they're okay, just say Achia. If they're not okay, say that's a Nish Nish.
Pretty simple.
Very good. All right. So we all understand the rules?
I believe so. Matt, right. You good?
Yeah, it's a new game for me, but I'll try my best.
All right, here we go. Question number one, Achia Nish Nish 2, Ashton Kutcher replacing Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men.
Wait, you're not replacing Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men?
I don't think I don't have the thirst for the adult drugs. Maybe the women, but not the adult drugs.
You don't
drugs.
Have the thirst yet.
The hunger or
not
the
yet?
Thirst?
That comes with age, I guess. Okay, I'll start from my left here. Matt, you're going first.
My options are
Achia
or Nish Nish.
I think you might need to play the instructions
again for Matt. Nish Nish for sure. I've had my fill of Ashton Kutcher. I have no use for him in any way, shape, or form. I don't find him entertaining.
Achia to the hiring, Nish Nish to the show. It doesn't make a difference to me. I didn't watch it anyways, nor will I.
I'm a fan of 2.5 Men. I know my father is probably the biggest fan of 2.5 Men. I'm going to give this an Achia. I don't really see where you could really have gone. I've heard people mention, what's the guy's name from Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. might be a suitable replacement, but I think Kutcher will bring in a younger demographic. And
he's as much of a dick as Charlie Sheen is.
I just don't think any of the younger demographic watches that show. Why would you put
a guy
that
might
like
be
Kutcher,
true.
Like,
it's still the most popular show on that network, so they can't.
Do I get a vote?
They can't.
No.
No. Continue on, Greg.
Okay, I'll just bring up a point. Remember how Ashton Kutcher was a very good character on That 70s Show, a very underrated show in most people's minds. So just keep that in mind. Question two.
Cricket.
Buying Groupons.
Buying what?
Groupons.
Oh, ach yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry from the right, because this is Aaron's question. Oh. Like, he suggested.
Okay, go ahead. You know what a Groupon is?
Buying croutons?
No, a Groupon.
Groupon, like Wagjag.
I love croutons. Ach yeah.
I'm going to speak to my love of Groupons. You know, I'm a fairly frugal individual, so anytime I can get something for cheaper then advertise is a good thing.
I'm not even going to say it. Just keep going.
No, I actually recently bought a Licks combo, home burger, fries, and a drink for $4 on a Groupon. So I'm loving Groupons.
Next question.
Groupons are great.
Oh, who doesn't like Groupons?
Yeah, wait. We didn't get an Achia Nish Nish from Matt.
Croutons.
Oh, Achia. Achia. Living right. In Toronto, there's Groupons for everything.
Please, awesome. Please keep going.
All right. Next question.
Hell, Achia.
Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Matthew Lashoff released an album this past week called Living on Heart. Akia or Niche Niche to this album?
Go ahead.
I haven't heard it, but Niche Niche right away from the name.
These are the worst questions I've ever heard. Aaron, you're fired. Jimmy, you're fired.
Those are great questions.
Greg, I'll see you back here next week, buddy.
Terrific. Wait.
I mean, Akia, Matt Lashoff album. I've heard someone compare it to John Mayer. Matt Lashoff, a very multi-dimensional athlete. He can
give him a chance.
He can play a little bit of hockey. Not really, but he's decent in that respect. So
we're going to give him a chance.
Okay. And Greg, maybe we'll use some of his music next week.
Next week, I'll try to find some sound clips.
Okay.
Last question here. Very last one. Hangover 2 or Bridesmaids, which isn't really Akia or Niche Niche. So this is maybe you should be fired, Aaron.
Will we be watching these? What do you think?
Oh, both of them?
Either, or both.
Okay, all right. So it's not Akia or Niche Niche. You're fired.
I won't see Bridesmaids. I will see Hangover. I expect it to be terrible, but I will see it. I will see it. I'll give them my money.
I plan on seeing both. Hangover 1 was amazing, so I'll see the second. Bridesmaids, I got a glaring recommendation from M.M. Adam.
I saw M.M. Adam posted on Twitter.
I might give it a download.
You think Adam was on a date when he was seeing the movie?
Oh, for sure.
Maybe with Angela Willits.
What
was her name?
Maybe not when it started. He definitely had a date by the time it was over. He probably went single, though. Sat beside any girl he could find.
We should find Adam a girl named Dana White, because clearly, clearly she exists. She's out there.
Greg, get on a Facebook search.
Facebook that right now.
I'll get my best creeping Facebook friend, who happens to be the McCluster guy I talked about earlier. I'll get him on that.
All right. Show us to Dexter.
While you're doing that, on behalf of Aaron Karolnik, thank you very much for listening to Sports Radio Jax. Greg Hood, producer Greg Hood, thank you for all your fine work. We'll see you back here next week. Matt Hayes, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me, guys. Lovely to be in here.
You're fantastic. You want to pimp out your Twitter?
Oh, yeah. It's Matt44Hayes. Follow me.
Follow him. I think he's going to be tweeting some... What was it?
Some Honda Indy.
Some Honda Indy action recently.
Who's excited for the Honda Indy this summer?
Oh, not me.
You will be if you follow me on Twitter.
And Jimmy Mangos, screw you.
You can follow him on the streets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, screw him, though. Whatever.
Screw Jimmy Mangos.
See you next week.